Now, an officer was acquitted in a Mesa, Arizona shooting death last week. But after the trial, the police department released a body cam video of the shooting. This week, it's getting an angry response around the nation.
Here's what happened back in 2016. Daniel Shaver, who worked in pest control, showed his pellet gun to another person at a hotel room in Mesa. Someone saw the gun through a window and reported it to police. Officers then responded.
On the video, Officer Philip Brailsford's AR-15 rifle is trained on Daniel Shaver in the hotel hallway, while another officer gives instructions to Shaver and a woman. Ultimately, Brailsford fires multiple shots, killing Shaver.
Officer Brailsford was acquitted on charges of murder and manslaughter. His lawyer argued that Shaver had bent his arm in a way consistent with reaching for a firearm and that Officer Brailsford followed his training. Others who watched the video say Shaver was most likely trying to pull up his shorts, which had fallen while he was crawling in compliance with police orders.
The video is reviving the debate over the use of force by police and over police tactics. Reverend David Cooper joins us now. He's the former Madison police chief and author of Arrested Development, A Veteran Police Chief Sounds Off About Protest, Racism, Corruption, and the Seven Necessary Steps to Improve Our Nation's Police. David, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here today.
Well, David, I want to start by listening to some of this police video. Listeners, this may be disturbing. We do stop the audio here before the shots are fired. Here's a listen.
Okay, young man, listen to my instructions and do not make a mistake. You are to keep your legs crossed. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
You are to put both of your hands, palms down, straight out in front of you. Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed!
I'm sorry.
I didn't say this in conversation.
Put your
hands! Hands up in the air! You do that again, we're shooting you. Do you understand?
Please do not shoot me.
Then listen to my instructions.
I'm trying to do what you
want. Don't talk! Listen! Hands straight up in the air. Do not put your hands down for any reason. You think you're going to fall, you better fall on your face. Your hands go back in the small of your back or down. We are going to shoot you. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Crawl towards me. Crawl towards me!
Yes, sir.
David Cooper, what do you hear in the officer's instructions there and in the way Daniel Shaver complied with them in the video?
Yeah, it's terrible. I've seen this video, by the way, probably five or six times, looked over it again. It's just really bad police work, and it shows the problem we have today, and I think the problem citizens have in looking at something like this and saying, you know, that's just out of bounds. I wouldn't want a loved one like mine treated like this. And then we revert back to an old, fairly old now, U.S. Supreme Court decision, Graham v. Connor. I think it was back in 89, which sort of is the low bar standard that says that what are circumstances we want to put cops in prison, and the standard is pretty low. It said if an officer reasonably believes, objectively believes that he or she is fear of his or her life, then force can be used in this situation. This clearly, I don't know where this officer got trained. He's probably emotionally just roaring forward. He is taking basic felony stop training and kind of turned it around. You don't make people crawl on their hands and knees to you. You don't threaten people. If he was to do this, the proper way would be to have the suspect get down on his knees, face the other way, away from the officer, cross your legs, put your hands on top of your head, and then another officer comes over and quickly handcuffs the person, restrains them. So this is somehow, you hear the accelerating emotion of his voice there, and it is like a lot of these shootings that I've reviewed, mainly because I'm teaching criminal justice at UW-Platteville. I've got a couple of classes down there, and we do go through these. And the problem here is that the officer is not able to self-manage his emotions, and I think that's what we're going through. Had this occurred in a town where there's a significant people of color and the person was of color, we would have major disturbances today. And maybe we could look at this one. Here's one white guy shooting another white guy and saying, this too is bad, and this too should not happen.
And that is civil rights groups, including some prominent members of Black Lives Matter, have responded to this event, even though, as you say, Daniel Shaver himself is white. So you've written about issues of race, but you say there's a fundamental issue, too, of police procedure, how police are trained and behave in a situation like this.
Sure. Well, since Ferguson, we've had increasing talk about de-escalation. That isn't new in police lingo. Certainly, back in my day, it was conflict management and understanding that people who are intoxicated, people who are mentally ill, people who are going through an emotional crisis, you know, don't respond very well to people like screaming at them and gets them more confused. This situation could have been managed much better. The officer could have taken cover, backed off here. I see they got the woman off the scene very, very, very quickly and just managed the situation by just saying, okay, buddy, let's just slow down here. You know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn around, get down on your knees, cross your legs, interlock your hands on top of your head, hold it now, we're going to manage this thing, just be calm. But what we're seeing here is that the officer, and I don't know how long he's been on the police department, I don't know what kind of training he's gone through, but the key to this job over and over again, and what makes good cops is they manage their emotions in fearful situations. That's what makes them different. That's why you know, we respect police because we expect them to be able to be controlled when everybody else is going nuts.
Talking to David Cooper, former Madison police chief, about police procedure and a shooting of a video of a police shooting that was released over the last week. David Cooper, as I think about it, I mean, it would be easy for me to say an officer should remain calm, but in the report here, they know there's a gun present somewhere in this situation. They've heard stories, I'm sure, of police in situations where very quickly someone reached for a firearm, and in some cases police have died in this situation. I mean, is it appropriate for us to judge the officer, the colleague of Officer Brailsford here who was shouting, or Officer Brailsford himself, in this tense situation where they know there might be a gun present?
Well, I can. I worked in this business for over 30 years. I used to train cops in defensive tactics. You know, I've been in these critical situations before, and I know they work when we remain calm. And maybe we have to back off a little bit. You know, taking cover here. And as I understand, the call here was somebody thought the person had a firearm in a hotel window, and this person I checked into it was a animal exterminator, and he did have a pellet gun. But even if there was a real live firearm present here, this isn't the best way to handle this situation. I mean, I'm sure, I would hope, and I think I would be comfortable, though cops are very, very hesitant to criticize other cops, but if we had, you know, 10 senior police officers here, you know, and certainly I'd be comfortable if it was the Madison Police Department and said, look at the scene, would you have done that? And all 10 said, no. Now, what they will say is that I wouldn't have done it that way, but it's difficult for me to judge what another officer did in this situation. And that's true, and that's fair. But the fact is, when police officers see these situations, they can say, no, I wouldn't do it that way.
You've talked about police attitudes and sort of a military mindset creeping into policing in some cases. In this case, the officer Brailsford, had this AR-15 rifle. It was etched with the words, "You're effed." I'm cleaning up the language. The judge didn't allow that fact to be presented to the jury. Do you think that points in any way toward a mentality of an aggressive mentality, I guess?
Well, that's right. And what you need to have, if you're going to be an effective street cop, you've got to have a number of tools in your kit. And what we're seeing here is I think just maybe it's lack of training, not thinking through this, but you know, using sort of the tactical voice, and then getting the tactical procedure screwed up. It was a major error here, And there are times, and especially in dealing with people who are mentally ill, and understanding that people who are suffering from schizophrenia are really, really slow to respond to commands, may not even hear your commands, may not even process that. So you've got to do other ways. Maybe you start the tactical approach. Stop. Get down. Don't move right now. All right. Now, hey, now tell me what's going on. I don't want you to move, but this is what I want you to do. You hear me? And nobody will get hurt. So to be able to regulate, to self-regulate. Everything doesn't have to be up there, 100%. We're not every day in mortal combat. Most police officers, never fire their weapon in the course of a 30-year career. So most police officers who are effective in this job, who are good cops, have a variety of approaches and techniques, are self-regulating, can understand what's going on, have some kind of background in understanding people, so they don't get caught up, so that they are out of control.
We're talking about police tactics and the use of force by police. After the release of body cam video footage showing a police shooting in Mesa, Arizona, Reverend David Cooper is with us. He's a former chief of the Madison Police Department.
And you can join the conversation now by calling 800-642-1234. Have you watched this video? What was your reaction? Do you think police are too quick to use deadly force, or do you think that they're justified given the risks that they face? And if you have worked in law enforcement, what's your perspective on these issues? You can call in right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're talking to former Madison Police Chief David Cooper right now. We're looking at police tactics and the use of force after the release of a controversial body cam video in Arizona.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you watched this video? What is your reaction to it? And on the wider issues, what do you think of the way police are trained, the way they deal with difficult situations and their difficult job, and the use of force? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Right to your calls now. Muhammad is with us in Madison. Muhammad, hi.
Hi there. I've not seen the video, but just from listening to that, the voice of reason seemed to be on the side of the person that they were called about. But I was telling your screener that I lived in Mesa, Arizona for 2 years. I moved there from Madison in 2014 and moved back here in 2015. And the thing that I was most terrified there while I was there for that period of time was being pulled over by the police. I mean, I saw them, they killed this African-American woman who left a mental health facility, and she threatened someone there, went to her home, six officers, the sergeant is in front, she opens the door, she's got a hammer in her hand, he shot her six times, a middle-aged woman that was known to have a mental health problem. It scared me. Well, I was terrified.
Muhammad, thank you for calling and sharing your story. David, is this a case where, I don't know the history of the Mesa department, but is it maybe something that could be endemic to a particular police department and how they're trained?
Well, I don't know what's going on in Mesa, but we see time and time again in these videos, and I bet I've seen over 100 of them since Ferguson. What do we see in what the caller talked about is a situation, a woman appearing at the door with a hammer and immediately being shot. We saw a video of that just a few months ago involving two Dallas police officers. The 911 call was a woman called the dispatch and said, my son is mentally ill. He's having some problems now. Would you please send some trained officers? And two officers showed up. She walks out the door saying, I just can't control him anymore. He appears at the door with a screwdriver in his hand, and within 4 or 5 seconds, he's shot multiple times and dies. Both these situations that the caller mentioned is to me situations that we back off right away. I mean, we back off. We got some distance here. Hey, put the hammer down. Let's talk. That's the way good cops handle these things without shooting people every time they go to a call like this. And sometimes, you know, backing up, lowering your voice works. And I know that you know these are situations where the person didn't appear with a handgun, so you've got to make an immediate decision about what to do. A person, you know, 4 or 5 feet away from you holding a handgun. These are not firearms. These are, you know, blunt weapons, sharp weapons, screwdrivers, hammers, those kind of things. But even in the training, you know, the training started out when back in my era when we had 6 shots in a revolver, they shoot once, and then the training ramped up, and we were told shoot twice at targets. Now I think with our, you know, high volume semi-automatic pistols right now, it's to shoot until you don't have any more bullets. So back in the past, officers had to be very careful because we didn't carry a lot of ammunition, and it was very, very difficult in a stress situation to reload a 6-shooter. Excuse me. So we had to be very, very careful. Now I think the technology has contributed to a lot of this, and now the training's got to catch up.
Mohammed, thanks for that call. We're talking to David Cooper, former Madison police chief, about police-involved shootings. We'll go next to Amy on the line in Lake Geneva. Amy, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say that I'm very impressed by your guest, and he just seems very level-headed and very wise. And I think part of that comes with age, but part of that is, you know, judgment of the person. And I think, you know, I think police officers need to, the training, I agree, needs to change. And I also think, and I've always wondered, why do police officers have to shoot to kill? Why can't they shoot to disable the person? You know, because we're killing all of these people who are, you know, someone's child or loved one. And I myself have a very close relative who has bipolar, and she actually had an incident with an officer, and it resolved itself very well. I mean, she actually, I believe, attempted to hit the officer or kick the officer. And in some cases, I'm sure the officer probably could have shot her and very likely gotten away with it. But he knew how to handle it because he was trained. And I had been asked at one point to even be on a panel to help educate, you know, police officers about mental illness and to have them, you know, the family members of those people.
Amy, I want to jump in because we don't have too much time left, and there's a lot there. David, for that last point first, officers trained to deal with mental illness. I mean, there's a lot that goes into being a police officer, and it's extra special training in some ways to deal with people dealing with mental illness issues.
Sure. The training is really important, and some departments across the country have had special units of officers, especially trained, you're like Memphis and that, to have special training to go to these situations where people are mentally ill. But the fact is the nature of urban policing today is every officer has to be a mental health specialist because we're coming into contact more and more, and this, you know, this has gone on since the late 70s when we had the deinstitutionalization. We've got a lot of people around who are suffering from mental illness and who are operating very well, but once in a while they have meltdowns. And police just need to have those skills. And that was a very important skill for police to have because they are mental health workers, social workers who happen to have weapons that they can use force to protect people.
Amy, thanks for that call. David, as we start to wrap up, you mentioned the idea of officers being needing training and being self-regulated, controlling their emotions. I mean, this, among the reasons I would be a bad cop, this is a conflict-oriented job. Nobody calls you to say, things are fine, come on by. It's all conflict. How do you train someone to keep their emotions in control when they go from one situation of conflict to another?
Well, it's training, and it's also taking care of our police officers. I mean, this is where, you know, the President's Task Force talked about, and the Police Executive Research Forum talked about, you know, this use of force stuff. The research forum said, you know, the sanctity of human life should be the core of all that police do. And President Obama's task force on 21st century policing talked about one of the pillars, the six pillars, is health and wellness of our officers. More officers are dying by suicide each year than are being killed in the line of duty by bad guys. So what we have to do is make sure that we're taking care of the men and women who are serving us. We must see that they're adequately compensated, they have adequate time off, and that we have systems in place so that they can develop and keep, you know, healthy lifestyles. Because they have to have their stuff together to be able to do the tasks that we're asking them to do today.
We'll leave it there, David. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Anytime. Peace. Bye-bye.
That's Reverend David Cooper. He's a former Madison police chief and author of the book Arrested Development. A veteran police chief sounds off about protest, racism, corruption, and the seven necessary steps to improve our nation's police.